Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. Hey, my name is Keith Caulfield and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. I don't know what I'm doing.
So sing-songy today.
I know. Joining me is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Hi, Keith.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Singy.
Should I be responding in song?
Yeah. This is all a lure to get you to start singing, because you never want to sing.
It didn't work.
She only sings when we don't have the microphone going.
That's true.
So frustrating. The Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week's show is a very special edition of the Pop Shop Podcast. Why is it special, Katie?
Because it's the Billboard Music Awards preview.
Oh, yeah! We'll be talking about all the big performances that we cannot wait to see this Sunday on the Billboard Music Awards. We'll be talking about the big finalists, you know, what Katie and I will actually be doing at the show, because we're both going.
Going and working and
working.
Having fun. And yes.
There should be some fun somewhere in there.
Indeed. There usually is some fun squeezed in.
But it's a lot of work. The 2016 Billboard Music Awards will air live across the country at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on ABC. It's the first time that the show has been live on both coasts, all across
and
the country.
And as Angelinos, we very much appreciate it.
Yes, we're always locked out of seeing these live shows.
And then you just have to ignore Twitter the whole time, and it's just, it's a mess.
It's a pain.
Which is why they fixed it.
So in addition to talking about the Billboard Awards, we're also actually joined by a finalist this year at the Billboard Awards, two-time finalist Selena Gomez. We talked to the pop princess a few weeks ago, just before the launch of her Revival World Tour. We talked about her incredible success on the charts over the past year, what fans can expect from the tour, and just how she's feeling at this point in her life. And she seems to be feeling pretty good in terms
as
of,
she should be.
As she should be. She's doing all right. Plus, we've got our usual chart chat about the big news on the charts, as Justin Timberlake's "Can't Stop the Feeling." Can't stop the feeling.
Gotta make sure to get that exclamation point in there. Can't stop the feeling.
I'm feeling. debuts straight in at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, while Radiohead's new A Moon-Shaped Pool dives in, heyo, at number three on the Billboard 200 albums chart. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss a single episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Oh, yeah. I have a very loose script this week. So it's a lot of vamping around the
Don't give away our secrets.
Well, you know, but I want people to understand that this is like, you know, us just like talking about the Billboard Awards.
Yeah.
And they talk about themselves, quite honestly, because it's such a huge show, and it's so awesome that we have this award show each year to honor the biggest artists, songs, and albums on the Billboard charts over the past year. I was doing an interview yesterday with a radio DJ about the Billboard Awards, mm-hmm. and we were just kibitzing and talking about it, and I said, you know, it's just cool that we have this show that really recognizes what the American public is effectively voting for when they buy music or stream music, mm-hmm. or listen to music on the radio or engage with an artist on Twitter or Facebook. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is counted on our charts each week, and then we take those weekly charts and turn them into our annual Billboard Music Awards.
Yeah.
So it's
the ultimate people's choice because they chose with their wallets.
Yeah. When people discuss the show, it's always important to keep in mind that the show is not like, you know, a secret room full of people like choosing, well, who has the top rap album. Like,
nor is it the most rabid fans online voting who can get their fan base to vote the most times. It's not that either.
I mean, though, that said, we do have one category
that is fan voted.
That is fan voted. It's the Chart Achievement Award, where there's five finalists that are vying for the Chart Achievement Award. And all five of them have achieved a very unique sort of amazing chart feat over the past year. So go to billboardmusicawards.com. You can vote for that particular category. And it's really fun. I actually sort of helped kind of vet the
finalists for that.
Yeah, and sort of craft the correct chart achievement. So like, you know, Little Big Town is up in that category, and they had the longest run at number one on the country songs chart with Girl Crush for a group in history. A group of three members or more. It's very tricky.
Not to be confused with a duo.
Not to be confused with Florida Georgia Line, who's a duo.
Exactly.
So check that out. But let's talk about the performances first.
Yeah.
Because the show is stacked with performances. Katie, what if you could narrow down, like, say, 3 to 5 performances that you're looking forward to? And since we don't know exactly what they're actually going to be singing yet, I mean, I'm sure internally we do, but it's not public yet. What are the like 3 to 5 that you're looking forward to out of this incredible lineup that we have?
Well, I'm most excited about Britney.
Yeah.
She's going to be doing a medley of her hits at the show. We do know that.
That means that will be the first time she's ever done this performance, because she doesn't do like a straight up medley of hits in her Piece of Me show, which is in Vegas. So that means this could be the first time we've ever seen this performance.
It could be Pieces of Me.
Hey-o.
Piece of Me. But so I'm super excited about Britney.
That's definitely one of mine as well.
She's amazing. And then, you know, we had this conversation when we announced Fifth Harmony was performing, that we could not think of another major awards show performance from them. And so I'm thinking, like, we've seen lots of performances on TV from them.
Right.
But this is, like, where they're really going to be able to have the big stage, the big production. And
total
I think
blowout.
That they're going to take full advantage of that. And I think that it's been such, like, this long lead up, because they've been around with us for years, that they're going to totally blow it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about them. And I'm excited to see Blake Shelton and Gwen perform together.
Have they performed on The Voice yet together?
Well,
I think they did.
Did they perform? Oh, they did perform this song. Yeah, yeah. But I'm excited to see that for sure in the big award show stage. And I'm sure that we have this in common. The fact that, I don't know if this is a performance. Is it a performance? Madonna tributing Prince?
See, that's the thing. The Associated Press reported that Madonna's going to perform.
Okay.
I think that we and Dick Clark Productions, who's producing the show, and the Billboard Music Awards itself have been very careful in describing Madonna's participation as she is going to honor
pay
Prince.
Tribute to Prince. Yeah.
So I think the guess is that she's performing.
Okay. So we're excited about it regardless.
I'm just excited that Madonna is going to be in the building.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a...
And Keith will be backstage, so...
Well, we'll both be backstage.
Well, yes, I'll be in the press room. I don't see Madonna swinging by the press room, but I do see her swinging by a one-on-one interview.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see if we'll see that. I'm looking forward to... and I'm not cutting you off. Feel free to jump back in. I'm looking forward to, certainly, Madonna, Britney. I think watching the Go-Go's could be quite fun, because I can't remember the last time that they've been on, like, a big, huge award show like this, because the Go-Go's were big back in the early 1980s, and they continue to be the only all-female rock band to have a number one album on the Billboard 200 chart. Beauty and the Beat, which had We Got the Beat and Our Lips Are Sealed, was number one on the Billboard 200. No all-female rock band has ever done that since or
Amazing.
Before. Now, like, certainly the Dixie Chicks, who are a country group, have been number one. And Destiny's Child is a all-female, you know, singing R&B pop group.
Yeah.
But a rock band, a female rock band, you know.
Yeah.
So, and also, I just, you know, I love the Go-Go's.
Yeah.
And I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl a few years ago, and that was great. So they'll be great. I'm looking forward to Troye Sivan, who is Kia's one to watch. Troye Sivan. And if you've actually been following our tweets and social coverage of Troy. I'm actually in this video series. It's kind of funny that so like Kia is presenting this. Like they last year they presented Tori Kelly as their one to watch, mm-hmm. and as part of this one to watch program, you get to perform on the Billboard Awards, and they do a little video roll up talking about his road to. You know, he's driving towards, yes. you know, the puns. But I'm part of this, and it's just, it's funny where I get to talk and be enthusiastic about Troy.
Who, which isn't hard for
which
you.
Which isn't hard, because he's amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to him, and I'm looking forward to, oh, golly.
I have to mention Celine.
Celine, who is, they've already announced, I feel like they announced what song she's performing.
They did. It's a cover of... Now I'm totally spacing. It's a cover of...
I know, I'm spacing too. It's a cover of something very emotional. And she's had a rough year. A year ago at the Billboard Music Awards, she was there. She was a presenter, I believe. And she came backstage, and I spoke to her backstage. And at that time, it was starting... You know, it was news that her husband was in very ill health, and she had made the decision with him to continue performing in Vegas, where they've sort of called it home for a very long time. And I remember asking her about it. And I'm just like, I don't know how to ask. She's like, just say it. I was like, oh, I don't know. And she's been just so like brave and so just strong over the past year. And, you know, her husband, Renee, did pass away. And now she is, you know, still out there and still entertaining. And I think it's probably what Renee would have wanted her to do anyways.
Well, on that note, the song that she's performing is Queen's The Show Must Go On.
Well, The Show Must Go On.
And she's also receiving the Icon Award at the show.
She's receiving the Icon Award. Brittany is receiving the, I believe it's the Millennium Award. I believe that is the award that we are giving Britney Spears. Katie could be Googling that momentarily while I vamp in the meantime. But it's going to be a star-studded, jam-packed, amazing, amazing show. And I'm fairly confident the thumbs up means that she is getting the Millennium
yes.
Award. Britney Spears is indeed getting yes. the Millennium
That's
Award.
The same name as an MTV VMA Award, so I was like, is that right? Okay, let's go with it. Yes, that's right.
I believe Beyonce got the Millennium Award a few years ago, okay. Back in 2011, when she did Girls Run the World. Icon Award has been given out to Stevie Wonder.
Jennifer Lopez,
and Prince. Who we already said will be honored by Madonna. I also think
and also Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. I think it's kind of fitting that Madonna honors Prince because they have worked together on Madonna's Like a Prayer album. They did a duet called Love Song. And I tweeted about this the other day. The first guitar you hear on Madonna's Like a Prayer song is Prince.
Hmm.
The
I did not know that.
Right before you hear like the door slam and the choir start, that's actually Prince.
Amazing.
So there's the performances. Going overing. It's a new word I've invented. It's like cromulent. The big finalist this year, The Weeknd, is actually our top finalist. He is a finalist 19 times in 16 categories. How is that possible? Well, it's because he has multiple entries in certain categories. So, for example, in the top Hot 100 song category, he has two songs up against each other.
Yeah.
So Can't Feel My Face and The Hills are both up in that category. So he could, in theory, you know, block himself.
He can win 16 times.
Yes, he can only win 16. He can't
Unlike
actually win all 19.
Unlike other award shows where it could be a hindrance to be nominated twice,
yeah.
He actually did not like go head-to-head with himself
right.
in this. So
Drake and Fetty Wap are the second biggest finalists this year with 11 entries. And Taylor Swift and Adele each have 8. They are the next biggest folks on the list. We call them finalists and not nominees, and we don't call them nominations because, and Katie could probably pull out her copy editing, grammar editing skills here.
Well, they weren't nominated per se because they are based on sales and chart performance.
Yeah, so it's just literally how the math worked
out. If we were to call them nominees and nominations, it just sounds like somebody made this choice or there was some sort of like, you know, debate or vote or whatever. But as we said earlier, there's not. It's all based on charts.
I still stumble over myself when I'm trying to say like, you know, with multiple, you know, because normally you would say like the 10-time nominee this year. It's like, well, 10-time finalist.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's fine. And then, but then it comes into when you say the word nominations, like what's the equivalent in terms of finalist?
The old copy editor trick.
We say nod.
I say nod.
Yeah, nod. Yes. We've been using nod
it's
a
good
lot.
Work around.
The big category at the show is top artist of the year, and the contenders are the finalists. Are mm-hmm. And this is the one category where you can't actually have multiple entries because
yes.
you can't. Adele, Justin Bieber, Drake, Taylor Swift, and The Weeknd. Adele, by the way, who will not actually be at the show. She will be on tour in Europe, but she's premiering her new video.
Yes,
on
send
the show.
Your love.
Send
your
love. Send
my love
to
your
new
lover.
Your lover. So even though Adele can't physically be there.
That's all. Thank you for sending us a video, Adele.
Which is pretty cool.
I know you're busy.
I know you're kind of busy on tour. Let's see. Oh, the show is going to be at a new venue this year. It's at the new T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas.
Yes.
The venue only opened in April. Its official opening night concert was with Las Vegas natives The Killers, along with Vegas icon Wayne Newton back on April 6th. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Since then, the T-Mobile has hosted shows from Nicki Minaj, Guns N' Roses, George Strait, and Billy Joel, among others. And our show will actually be the first awards show at the venue and the first televised show from the site.
Mm-hmm.
And we've actually been at the MGM Grand Garden Arena since probably the mid-1990s.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like the venue, generally speaking, in Vegas. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, and it'll also be kind of cool to see how
what it looks like on
what it
TV
looks like,
and yeah, yep.
And how we'll be, you know, at this T-Mobile Arena. Where will we actually be stationed at? Katie and I will be running amok throughout
per
the
usual.
Weekend. What mm-hmm. will we be doing this weekend, Katie?
Well, I'll be in the press room on Sunday during the show, which means that mostly people who won or performed who come backstage to do interviews will come and speak to the general press. And then Keith will actually be seeing people one-on-one backstage.
Yeah, we have a, like right next door to where Katie is at, sort of adjacent, I think. Then again, we haven't seen this venue before. we don't know.
Yet.
Yet. I'll be in a room adjacent on sort of a secondary red carpet. There's a red carpet before the show and there's a red carpet during the
and
show.
And you'll be on the red carpet before the show as well.
That's true. Talking to folks before and after, before and during, on said red carpet. We also have like a photo studio where we're going to take like glamour shots of people.
Yes. Those are always awesome.
They're very, very pretty.
Yes.
And you can, we'll have all this stuff rolling out, you know, throughout the entire weekend. We'll be hot and heavy on Sunday, certainly. Mm-hmm. And Monday as well. And then we'll be back, on Monday morning,
mm-hmm.
fresh as a daisy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Of. Well, let's talk about the charts.
Yes.
Because there is still chart news this week. Justin Timberlake.
Woo!
I was waiting for Katie to say something enthusiastic. Justin Timberlake debuts at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 with Can't Stop the Feeling.
He's still got it.
He does indeed.
He indeed does.
Katie just did a big, she helped sort of wrangle Justin Timberlake's best singles, like
yeah, we ranked,
Critics' Choice.
We ranked all of his singles from worst to best, which was very hard, actually, because I pretty
for
much
you.
Love everything that Justin does. So I asked for some help.
You didn't like Take Back the Night.
Well, that was our least favorite song.
Where was,
at least that was an easy choice.
Was a Can't Stop the Feeling, Where did that figure into your list?
It was in the final third of things. Like,
it's one of his least favorite, according to our Critics' Choice.
Here's the hard part. Is like,
while you look that up, Can't Stop the Feeling is his fifth solo number one. It bumps Drake's One Dance from number one after it rose to number one last week. It's Justin's first song to debut at number one. and it is the 1,055th number one in history on the Billboard Hot 100. Of course, the Hot 100 chart started on August 4th, 1958. My goodness, the chart is almost 60 years old. Craziness.
Yeah.
Just two more years celebrating the big 6-0. So did you find out?
Yeah, so Justin has 18 singles total at this point.
That we call official singles.
Yes, at least in
and America.
It came in at number 12, which, I mean, doesn't sound like very high, but it's surrounded by mirrors and suit and tie. You know, like, when you're ranking Justin singles, it's like a lot of hard choices of, like, what really great songs.
Hard choices. It's like that Hillary Clinton book.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sophie's Choice with Justin Timberlake singles. And our number one, if anyone cares, was Like I Love You, his very first single.
Well, the song actually started with 379,000 downloads sold in the week ending May 12th, according to Nielsen Music. That is Justin's highest sales total, highest weekly sales total for a song. And it's also the biggest sales week for any song this year.
Man.
Yeah. Welcome back.
Sorry, Drake.
And this song is from the movie Trolls, which Justin voices a character in. He's also, I believe, executive producing the Trolls soundtrack.
And did you see the Anna Kendrick and Justin duet at Cannes? It was of True Colors by Cyndi Lauper.
I know that it exists, but I haven't watched it.
So they performed it at the Cannes Film Festival, and it's going to actually be on the Trolls soundtrack.
Oh.
So there will be a studio version out at some point.
Wow.
And maybe that will debut at number one, too. Wait and see.
You with the sad eyes. Over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, Radiohead's new album, A Moon-Shaped Pool, debuts at number 3. Be careful you don't leave off that L at the end of Moon-Shaped Pool. That would be weird. It starts with, actually, 181,000 equivalent album units in the week ending May 12th. Of that, 173,000 were in traditional album sales. That is actually Radiohead's best sales week since 2003, when Hail to the Thief debuted and peaked at number 3 as well, with 300,000 sold. This album wasn't quite a complete surprise album, but it kind of was.
Well, yeah, it was like little bits and pieces, like started like a little trail of crumbs was left.
Like they went dark on social media.
Uh-huh.
And
deleted all of their tweets. Like not just went dark, but like they literally deleted every single tweet that they'd ever done up to that point.
Hmm.
And then started fresh with the new song and video. And
time to make a fresh start.
Yeah.
I guess so.
But I've only heard the song so far. I just got back from vacation. I love Radiohead and I've yet to hear this album. So I'll contribute to its chart performance next week.
Okay. You do that. It's the 6th top 10 album for Radiohead. And it's, of course, their first studio album since 2011, when The King of Limbs was released and also debuted at number 3, which was also its peak. They liked that number 3 a lot. At number 1 still is Drake, who sees his Views album spend a second week atop the chart with 313,000 equivalent album units. And at number 2 is Beyoncé's Lemonade, again this week, stuck in the runner-up spot behind Drake. Next week, we will see big debuts from Meghan Trainor and possibly Chance the Rapper's new album, which is streaming only.
Oh.
Not available to purchase, but it's streaming exclusively on Apple Music.
Okay.
So lots of chatter about how that could make a very sexy debut, and stay tuned to Billboard.com to find out about said sexy debut. I think it's time now for our guest interview with Selena Gomez.
The people want their Selena.
The people want the Selena. So I have to say this is a interesting interview in that, full disclosure, our audio went a little wonky when we actually recorded this interview. We recorded this interview backstage at the LA Sports Arena a few weeks ago when she was in final rehearsals for her revival tour. And we recorded a lovely, like, 10-minute interview. It was on video. And we got the footage back, and the audio was just really jacked up.
Yeah.
So what we did was we've isolated some quotes from Selena, cleaned them up so that, you know, it sounds good. But we removed me mostly from the scenario. So there, I'm saying there was a lot more with this interview. And you can actually see a lot of the quotes from Selena in previous articles that I've written from this interview in the past few weeks. We did a story about how she's donating proceeds of every ticket sold to a lupus foundation that studies lupus and how to battle lupus. And we also did a story about how she's part of Coca-Cola's new Share a Coke campaign. Mm-hmm. So go read those stories, combine it with what you're about to hear, and then you'll get the full breath.
Full Selena experience.
The full Selena experience. So we talked about how Selena's had three number ones from her Revival album on the pop songs chart this year. She was sort of gobsmacked by that. I mean, she knew that she'd had three number ones that because fans had tweeted her. But she was still just kind of like in a daze about how well and how the music's been embraced. So this first bit with Selena is her talking about how she's really coming to her own with Revival and being embraced by, you know, the fans, you know, just by being who she is and how she's kind of found herself. So here's our first moment with Selena Gomez.
I knew that this album, I don't know, this album was really important to me. And the whole time I was actually figuring out what I was trying to say, obviously I want it to be well received, but that wasn't my goal. I wasn't trying to make sure that I had nothing but number one singles. It was important for me to say things that were me.
Yeah.
That when you turn on the radio and you hear a song, you say that's me. Oh, that's Selena. As opposed to maybe in the past where, you know, kind of searching my identity and figuring out what makes me an artist, discovering myself. So just to be embraced for who I am is the best feeling in the whole world. It just reiterates the fact that being yourself is exactly what you should be. Not in a cheesy cliche way. It's just, I feel more like myself than I ever have in my whole life. And it's so cool to be embraced for that.
We also asked her about how she put together the set list for the new tour and how she tried to find the right balance between her new material and her older material. And she has some surprising thoughts about how it was difficult for her to fit Come and Get It into the show. And Come and Get It was a big hit for her. It went to number two on the pop songs airplay chart and was kind of like really her kind of coming into her own on the charts as a big sort of pop star. So here's Selena talking about how she tried to figure out the set list for the tour.
I think I had a clear vision. And I remember having this moment putting the tour together with Baz, my creative director and the choreographer, and I said 70% of my audience are the people that have been with me from the beginning.
Yeah.
But I know that a big portion of that also will be people who have never been to one of my concerts before. So obviously I kept that in mind, and I wanted to do most of Revival anyhow. And I had a really hard time figuring out. I knew Who Says was going to be something that was important to me forever, the rest of my life. And Love You Like a Love Song was the first time that I felt, you know, this was me. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was, I think, 18 at the time. I felt coming into my own. I ought to be honest, I had a really hard time with Come and Get It. We did three different versions, and it was very difficult for me to connect to that song. It was my first number one. So, and Stargate's working on my new record with me. They were a part of Revival. So now we have this amazing relationship. But prior to that, it was just a song.
Yeah.
And I can't go back to that. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Because it's a great song, but I don't know if it's mine. So we had to try a couple of different versions of it, and I think we got to a really good place. So I'm excited for people to hear the new version of Come and Get It. And other than that, we just sprinkled in only three old songs.
Really? Wow.
The new material, which is how I wanted it to be.
Wow.
We may add in a few things as well, surprise-wise, but we'll figure it out.
And finally, in closing, we also talked about how the show itself is really just about her. It has a beautiful feel, she says, and she feels really great about the show, and it really sounds like she's in a really good place with her music and her tour and her artistry. So here's our last moment with Selena Gomez.
This show is so centered around me. And I mean that in a way of confidence, of strength. It has a beautiful feel to it, but it is about me. So if I wanted to come in one day and say I want to change this or add this, I can do that. That's the first time I've ever really been able to do that in my life. And I feel great about it. It's not me making sure I hit all the dance moves. I'm trying to sing every single thing that I can do and say, because I know that there's so much I want to prove to myself for this tour, and it's just based on me. It's based on my voice, and it's based on what I'm saying to my crowd, and that's all I really want.
Thanks again, Selena. It was so great talking to you. When I walked in, she was like, I walked in and I was already sitting down, and she came in afterwards because she was getting hair and makeup done. And she came in and she was like, hi. And, you know, she had that, it's like, hi. And then she's like, wait, I know you. And I was like, well, you don't know me, but I'm like, we have talked before. And I mentioned, I'm like, I was the one who did the video interview with you for your cover shoot for Billboard magazine last year. She's like, that's right. She's like, those pictures were like some of the most beautiful pictures I've ever
taken.
They
really were.
So it was nice. And at the end of it, she was like, you know, it was great to see you again. You know, take care. I'm like, she's so gosh darn nice. And you know, when you're that nice, it's really hard to fake it. So I actually believe it's real.
No, totally.
You know, you feel like it's a genuine thing.
Yeah.
Though Selena is a two-time finalist this year at the Billboard Music Awards. As we mentioned earlier, she will not be at the show, unfortunately. She's on tour.
I believe
she's in Toronto that
Everyone's on tour right now.
Gosh darn it. But we wish Selena the best of luck at the Billboard Music Awards this weekend, and we thank her again for taking the time to speak with us. Now it is time for, oh yes, the chart stat of the week.
Woo!
Katie.
Oh.
With Can't Stop the Feeling hitting number one on the Billboard Hot 100, can you name the other songs with feeling in their title that topped the chart? Full disclosure, Katie does not have the answers on her sheet, unlike sometimes where I give her the answers. This week, she does not actually...
How many are there?
There have been... Hold on, let me find my paper that I've printed out.
Buying myself some time here.
Yeah, you're doing well, the buying time. there, with Justin... Okay, so there's been four previous songs with the word feeling in the title.
Okay.
And then Justin is the fifth.
I think I have two of them right off the top of my head.
Okay.
More Than a Feeling by Boston?
No.
Oh, man. How about I Can't Fight This Feeling?
By REO Speedwagon.
Yeah.
Correct. Can't Fight This Feeling for REO Speedwagon was number one in 1985.
Okay. Well, shoot. I thought I had
so
a good one on.
So there is a relatively recent song from the 2000s that was an enormous hit, Inescapable, from a big pop hip-hoppy group.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum,
oh, yeah, bum, yeah. Bum, I got a feeling.
I got a feeling.
But then how about Feeling
by the Black
Good?
Eyed
Did
Peas.
Anyone ever hit number one with Feeling Good?
Nope.
No, okay.
Not on the Hot 100. The Hot 100 started in 1958. Feeling Good is an old kind of pop standard. It may have hit number one on a previous chart.
Okay.
There was one more Feeling number one from the 1980s and then one from the 1970s.
Interesting. Okay.
I'll give you a hint. The one from the 1980s that we have not said is also from a movie.
Okay.
And the movie title is actually in the title of the song.
Oh.
However, the movie title itself...
Oh, it doesn't have the word feeling in it.
That's correct.
Okay.
It is the movie title, and then there's feeling also in it, but the movie title itself is part of the song title of the song, yet that movie title is not actually uttered at all in the lyrics of the song.
Oh, weird. Okay.
It is merely named just in tribute to the name of the film. But you hear the song in the movie.
It's definitely not... Wait. What a Feeling.
Flashdance. Flashdance.
There it is.
What a Feeling.
Yay.
The word Flashdance is not actually in the song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a Feeling. Got it. Okay.
And then that's by Irene Cara, of course.
70s.
Number one in 1983. And then our last 70s. Last one, this song actually had a big sort of resurgence in the past few years because it had a huge placement in a humongous action-adventure movie.
Interesting.
And it was one of a number of old 70s
songs. Oh, is it Guardians of the Galaxy?
Mm-hmm.
Is it Blue Suede, right?
Blue Suede. Hooked on a Feeling.
Hooked on a Feeling. There it is.
I'm high on believing.
That's so bad.
And that you're in love.
I got one with no
me.
Prompting.
Is it high on a feeling?
Hooked. What do you mean?
Well, like, oh, I'm hooked on a feeling.
I'm high on believing.
I'm high on believing
that you're in love with me. Yeah. Yeah. what a great soundtrack that movie had.
Because I actually have that on cassette.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You have the real mixtape.
And some honorary feels at number one.
Yeah, I was thinking of Can't Feel My Face, and I was like, not feeling.
So here are the songs that have the word feel in the title that are not feeling. I Can't Feel My Face by The Weeknd. The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson. You Make Me Feel Like Dancing, Leo Sayer. Feel Like Making Love, Roberta Flack. It's Too Late, backed with I Feel the Earth Move, Carole King. It was a double-sided number one back when we had physical double-sided singles. You've Lost, That Lovin' Feelin' by The Righteous Brothers.
Oh, did that not count because it's feeling with no G?
Yeah. Sorry. That's why I'm putting it in the honorary feels category. So depending on how you look at this, you can count feeling.
Yeah.
Because this was
I should have thought of that one, actually.
It is feeling with an N apostrophe. I Feel Fine by the Beatles. Mm. We're feeling good. Hey. About
we're
this week's number one.
We're feeling some type of way.
We're feeling it. So there's your trend set of the week. All the feels at number one. From Justin.
Hashtag feels.
From Justin to the Beatles. That's it. So stay tuned this week for all of our Billboard Music Awards coverage as we lead up to the big shoe.
Got a big weekend coming up.
Oh my goodness. It's a big BBMAs kind of weekend. We will be there with bells on. Stay tuned for all of our coverage. Do not miss the opening of the show. I have heard some very good things.
Ooh, a little inside info.
Yeah, I've heard some rumblings about what might be opening the show.
Awesome.
So, oh my goodness, it should be good. And I think that's it. What song should we go out on, Katie?
Well, all this Justin talk. Maybe we should go out on...
Really? None of the feel songs. Let's just go back to Justin.
Well, it is all about Justin, the feel songs anyway. Maybe Like I Love You, Billboard's number one favorite.
Let's go out on our number one critic's choice of Justin's favorite number or best number one song or best
single.
Thank you. Singles. I'm going to get that out at some point. Like I Love You. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.